水的点毛不？
JWW4FHJ. How to do, David?
Hey, Gene. How you doing on this rainy Saturday morning? Everything's wet over here in Greer.
Well, I'm on the way to Greer now. I'm building a bunch of shelves, and I came to Lowe's in Cherrydale and got eight sheets of 3/8 sheathing, and I had them split lengthwise right in the middle, and they're saw fouled up on me. So I'm heading to Lowe's in Greer to get the same thing. Besides, I think they're $2 a sheet cheaper there. At least they were last week. I don't know about now. You never know, prices up and down.
I know. I was talking to some guys on here not too long ago about the price of lumber coming down. I need to, like, rebuild my back deck. And I was waiting for the price to come down, and then I heard it came down. But then when I went and looked, it really didn't come down all that much. It may have come down about a quarter of what it was. But what it was like about five times more than what the stuff actually cost. So it really wasn't that much.
Got the same thing at Lowe's in Cherrydale. It's that stuff a little higher than I thought it was. A little higher than I thought it should be. But anyway, that's beside the point. I don't have any control over their prices.
I can wait. I can wait to see if the demand goes. I guess the demand's going to be a little higher, though, trying to fill up the backlog. I guess that's what that is. That's probably because a lot of people have been doing what I did, just said, I'll do that later. I won't do that now. And that creates a backlog, which creates an artificial demand for a short period of time.
Now, what you're talking about, the demand is high on a bunch of things. I know it is in the alarm business. I'm looking at here. I'm tied up here recently, looking at this 3G sunset. I think you call it coming up, and I think it's February the 1st or something like that. And I got about 20 accounts that they're going to be dead after that. So. I've ordered about 20. Well, I've already got 8, but I've ordered 12 more. 4G communicators. So hopefully I'll keep those customers. Of course, they'll have to, you know, pay something for them. It ain't free, but we'll see what happens.
I had a dilemma, something like that, with the setup that we were building for when we get the linking repeaters going. Is what are we going to use for our internet access? Is it going to be 3G, 4G, 5? What's it going to be? All right, is it going to be 2.4? Is it going to be 5.8? I don't know. A lot of things are changing like that. Moving target nowadays.
Get a whole lot of that. I must be in a bad area. A lot of static on that. Or white noise, as they say. But anyway. I'm probably in a better location now, crossing over a railroad, the bridge over a railroad, on Rutherford Road. But anyway, try it again, let's see what happens. Go ahead.
See if this is any better. I'm not moving now. I was moving over down by Zaxby's past Greer, which is kind of goes down a hill a little bit before you get here, which I think is shadowing me. Can you hear me any better now?
Yeah, still a lot of static there, but I'm copying 100% now.
Okay. Well, Zach, there are spots over here where it gets so bad it'll go away completely. And if I do go out, you'll know what happened. So I can go 5 feet forward and it'll blank out completely. How's Miss Alice's HF antenna doing? Have you talked to her about that lately?
Yeah, I talk with her about it every once in a while, and she's trying to get lined up with Dave Ivey, K4. His call is kind of like Alice's K4KAE, but his is similar. But anyway, you probably know Dave Ivey. She's trying to get lined up with him to make sure she still remembers how to do FT8. And I'm encouraging her to go to another mode also in addition to that. So, in fact, I had Dave help me one time get on FT8. I didn't make any contacts, but I copied a bunch of stations. I guess that never really interests me, you know, the digital modes never interested me all that great. Anyway, W4FHJ, go ahead.
Side, you want to hit it again, I can help you out with that. I go to the phone side every now and then, but I find myself quickly migrating back over to digital mode. It's just, you can do so much more with so much less energy. It doesn't take all the, I spend a lot of energy on the phone side trying to make contacts. In fact, sometimes I'll have my CQ call put on the radio's recorder. And then I'll just hit a series of buttons, and it'll call CQ for me. And I'll reach up there a little while and hit another CQ. And then eventually somebody will come back. But, man, is it a lot of work, especially if you get off of 20 or 40 and you get onto some of the other bands. Makes it more difficult. But so if you ever decide you want to go back, let me know. I can come help you get set up on it again.
Great. Really and truly. After the first of the year when I get past this 3G sunset deal, I'll be able to put my mind on it better. It's been giving me a hard time compiling everything and looking at all the SIM numbers of the different communicators and all, and been halfway worried about it. But fortunately, AMC, that's Alarm Monitoring Center in Greer, they're the ones that actually do the monitoring for me, and they were able to give me all that information. I got maybe 160 or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but anyway, they came up with 20 of them that are 3G. So I'm able to contact those customers. So that made it easier, but only after I'd done a lot of work on my own. And my work pretty much corresponded to theirs. Few discrepancies here and there, but that's the way something like that goes.
Had them to do the heavy lifting on the one side for you. I know that's a pain. That's something you used to not have to worry about before all this cellular connectivity stuff. I know they came out to my house, ATD, I think it is, whoever it is, they came out and put new equipment in for that same reason you're talking about. They told me, and they kept pestering me. I kept ignoring them, but they stayed at it. They stayed on me long enough to where they got my attention. I said, all right, come on out here and replace it. It didn't take him but about 30 minutes, I guess, to get it replaced and tested and gone. So it was worth it. But I probably spent more time delaying them than he took to get it actually done.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I think in my case, I believe all I would need to do is physically change the cell transmitter, the cell communicator, I should say. Just replace that physically, connect the wiring up to it, and the only programming to it is done by the carrier, which in this case is Connect 24, and they actually do the programming in it, so I don't even have to program it. I hate programming. I know you don't. That's your job.
Yeah, like Briar Rabbit said, that's my that thorn bush is my home. That's where I like it. I like it in that thorn bush. But I spend a lot of time doing that now that I'm not going to work every day. And I love it. I hate to stop, but you got to stop and look up, you know, raise your head up and look around every now and then. Went flying yesterday. Weather wasn't very good to take a break from it, but then right back at it this morning. And I'm having a blast. I'm having a good time. It's been 5 or 6 years since I've been able to program like I'm doing now.
I know you're enjoying that. I've heard a lot of talk on the air about your retiring and that kind of stuff. You retired from one thing going into another. Oh, I retired from the Navy. Of course, I was in the Coast Guard, but it was an actual Navy retirement because I was in the Navy Reserve after active duty in the Coast Guard. And I retired from Duke Power. And let's see, there's something else I retired from. No, I can't remember. Somebody's calling me on the cell phone. Let me get that, and I'll holler back at you in just a minute, if you will, David. It's W4FHJ standing by.
Okay, no problem. W4DJW standing by.
W4DJW, K4BWA.
Just a second. I'm the one of two, so if I disappear, you'll know what happened to me.
Yep. Listen, I got a real quick question for you. I discovered last night that the key slot or the connector going into the receiver on the Free Sky will take the Futaba style servo connector. Do you see any reason I should not use the other good servos on that Cadet? It just plugs right in.
Match them all the time. JR, High Tech, Futaba, you can mix and match servos all you want. Now, some of them, the voltage servos, you can't do that. You got to make sure the receiver can supply the voltage on that servo rail. And if it can, then you can mix and match them. But for the standard servos, not a problem.
K4VWA, even though they're the old style on the 72 megahertz?
That didn't make any difference. That's analog versus digital. There's two styles, analog and digital, and they both work off the same kind of a signal. So, yeah, you can mix and match them. No problem.
Perfect. All right, good enough. Well, I've already got this thing as far as the repair on the Cadet. I've already got it, the old wood out, shaved, shaped, and ready for new wood to go back in. And I've already got the skin cut back to the ribs the way I need it cut back. All I need is a little bit of white and just a dash of black. And I've already got the other servo. I've got a couple of spare servos. Man, I'm going to be ready to go.
I missed the middle of that. Yeah, I got the beginning, but then she said, okay, you can go ahead and place your order, and I did that, and then I caught the tail end of it. Give me the middle again.
Well, what I said was is I've already got the leading edge cut, shaped, and ready to receive new wood, and the center spar, the flat bar on the top boat already removed, shaped, and ready to receive new wood, and the skin, I've already cut it back to the rib positions that I want it to be in, and man, all I need is a little bit of wood and a little bit of monocoat, and I'll be ready to go, baby.
And you were motivated this morning, aren't you? What got you moving on that so fast?
Well, I did that last night when I got home, and you know what I forgot? Easley is probably open, and I may ride over there and get a little bit of that monocoat today. I might find out what time they close, but right now I'm over doing a bunch of new light fixtures and patching little places where people have hung pictures and such on the walls so that the kids can paint. Big Daddy don't paint no more. not unless it's in my own place. But yeah, I'm hanging light fixtures and new towel racks and all kinds of stuff they thought they needed. So, domestic bliss, you should come and join me.
Now, if I blank out, it's because I'll be at window 202, and they have a copper shield over the window, and it blanks out everything from my antenna. But it'll be interesting. They don't make monocoque anymore, I don't think. It'll be interesting to know what you come back with for shrink covering, because I don't know what it's out there now. I haven't bought it in like 6 or 7 years. So once you figure that out, let me know.
Okay, well, that's part of what I'll probably do tonight is ride over to Greasley and see what they've got. And matter of fact, for some reason, it seems like to me I remember seeing some patch pieces that you could buy. Oh, well, I'll go and research that and find out. But I should have the cadet back in the air no later than about Tuesday. So, anyhow, matter of fact, it should not even change. It shouldn't even change my trim settings much of any at all.
Antenna's off of the Bloody Wonder?
No, that is a project for Monday morning, and I'm gonna go down to my man cave, and I'm gonna use my soldering station. I've got a variable temperature soldering station, and I am gonna see if that low temp, you know, I can get those off of there with that. I don't know what that material is. It almost looks like a porous clay. But anyhow, I'm going to try to get those off of there without doing any damage and slip them back up on the new.
I can't do this off either, so I'm going to wait to learn from you on both of those.
There will be a learning curve. So, anyhow, I'll let you know how it goes. All right, well, in the meantime, I'll let you get back on there with that other gentleman. I didn't recognize his voice, and I don't recognize the call, but I think I've heard him in there before. So, anyhow, you guys carry on. I'll get out of your way. KN4VWA, I'm clear.
Hey, one last thing before you go. What year did you start ham radio?
This coming July will be my third anniversary. So, let's see, that's 22, 21,
21, 20, 20, 19. Okay, I was just curious. I'm looking for... you wouldn't happen to know when Phil started it. He started back in high school, didn't he?
W4NGU?
Yeah, or a little bit after high school. Him and David both, KB4CBA David. They both started, like, not too far out of high school, right?
Negative, Ghost Rider. Phil started ham radio when he was, like, 15 years old, either 15 or 16 years old. I remember he had a antenna strapped to the top of his dad's chimney. I lived in Wellington Green on Imperial Drive over on the Pine Grove Lakeside, and he lived in Wellington Green over on the Edwards Road side on a street called Adelaide. And the long and the short of it, he had a wire attached to a bracket on the top of his dad's chimney, if I remember right.
I knew it was way back then. I've got the Flyers roster from 1979 I'm going to send him and see if he recalls any of those names, because if he started when he was 15, that was long before 1979.
Phil was licensed in, let me figure it out. Now, he's a year older than me. And let's see, 64. He would have been licensed in either 69 or 70.
Okay, so the Briars roster that I have in 79, if he was a member of the Briars Club, he would be in it. I'm entering them into the database just purposes. I haven't come across his call sign yet, but I just wondered. If I sent him those entries, he would probably know a lot of people, because that would be 10 years after he started.
Yeah, but now, see, at a certain point, he took about a 15 or 20-year hiatus and then got back in it probably I'm guessing about 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, that would explain how many. Do you know how many years he was active before he took the hiatus?
I believe he was active up through about 90. Yeah, I'm thinking like 80 or 85 or 90, somewhere in there. But now, do you know him? Do you know Bunnington Green neighborhood at all?
At Barry Rycross, right? That's where Barry lived. I was over there a lot.
David. Okay. I'm in the parking lot here at Lowe's and Greer. So 73 is to you both. Enjoyed talking with you, David, as well as listening afterwards. Oh, you folks are something else about flying. So anyway, 73 is to both of you. The pilot and the co-pilot there with you. This W4FHJ out.
All right, Gene, but I'm only about a quarter of a mile away from you, and it's raining over here, so I hope you don't get wet when you make that mad dash for the door. Anyway, good talking to you this morning. W4FHJ, W4DJW. Go ahead, Steve.
As you came into Wellington Green, there was a street where everybody rode their sleds. Bridgeport.
Okay, crossed over a river right there.
Okay, if you're coming from Edwards Road and got onto Bridgeport, crossed over the little brushy creek there, and it went up that real steep hill, about three-quarters of the way up on the right was a fellow named Ken. And he's been a ham for time in memoriam. He's like 80-something years old now, and he's still a ham. Do you recognize that at all?
One more thing.
Go ahead, Gene.
Okay, excuse me for butting in again. When you were talking about Bridgeport, Ken Norton came to mind. And, Ken's a good friend of mine. He's been a ham a long time. So have I, but I can't remember when I got my license. I think it was 55 or 56, one or the other. Anyway, I'm gone. W4FHJ is out again.
Is that the same Ken you're talking about, Steve?
Yeah, I was just trying to observe the proprieties and not give the last name over the air. I could not remember his call sign. So, do you know him?
All of these names from back in the 70s were household names when I was growing up. We heard their names just like if you were to listen to the radio today and all the people that are using the radio, it was the same way back in the 70s. When I was growing up. So, yeah, I've heard all those names. All good. Blighton, Blanton, tons of them. Allison, too many to recall all of them.
Got, I believe it's one of the guys that got Phil started in it, okay? Because he lived over across the way. And Ken is also the guy that helped... instead of a bunch of them at the club at the time, I forget which club it was. I don't know if it was Greer, but they didn't want to let him in because he was just a kid. Well, he reminded them that, hey, you know, if you don't bring the younger ones along, we all die off. And he helped get Phil into the club at that time. He's one of the good guys. So anyhow... Along that time, I'm believing it was 68, 69, or 70 is when Phil first started up, and along about 85, somewhere in there, is when he kind of dropped back out, and you know what, I'm going to call him and ask him right now. So, well, anyhow, if I find out, I'll text you and let you know that information. Now, do you need his email address?
QRZ. If I can't, then I'll get it from him when I hear him on here again. But 79 is in that group from 69 to 80, mid-80s. 79's in there, so he should know these people. And there's about 60 or 70 Briars members on that roster, so he should be able to pick out a bunch of them. Anyway, I'll let you go. let me know what you find out about what the new stuff is that replaces Monaco. I think that business went, that company went under a long time ago. Anyway, take care. K4VWA, W4DJW.
My research develops, and as far as that antenna, hey, I'll text you about that, maybe send you a couple of pictures. But it shouldn't be that too bad. It shouldn't be too bad. All right. Well, have a good afternoon. Try to stay dry. K4VWA, I'm clear.
KFRYQK. And Dave, we might have to antenna party soon. I purchased the cabin next door to me, tearing down the cabin, and I'm going to make reuse of the telephone pole for a beam to be mounted on top.
Well, give us plenty of heads up, YQK, so we can get spread to work and have that'd be a really good antenna party. I think we'd get a lot of people to come over there.
First lot, I hauled all the garbage off. I got a cabin to tear down, and I'm building a picnic shelter so we can have a barbecue over there, too.
Action as to what, how many antennas, what band, and how many antennas you're going to put up, what kind?
The term antenna garden before. We're talking antenna farm. Yeah, definitely a farm.
Oh, you're going big time. All right, that'll be pretty cool. Give us enough heads up that we can put it out there on the net at night, you know, when it's going to be and what time to be there and all that kind of stuff, so that we can make it a good one.
I will do. Make sure you hop on JSA. That's the digital mode I'm operating now.
What mode is that?
Oh, it's a derivative FTA, but it's called JSA. You can leave mailbox messages. It's got forwarding capabilities.
Juliet Sierra, is that what you're saying? Juliet Sierra 8?
Juliet Sierra 8, and software is JSA Call.
I think I tried that when it first came out, but I'll have to go look it up. I probably don't have it anymore. Anyway, I'm about to back under the garage and go inside and eat. Good to hear you on here. Don't be a stranger. KJ4YQK, W4DJW.
Talk to you later. Bye, back to HF.
Alpha 1 Romeo Delta. Is the gentleman still listening that was talking about JS-8 call? Alpha 1 Romeo Delta clear.
WK4BWA.
Looking for W4DJW. Maybe he'll actually come on the radio and talk to us. KJ4CTD Mebel.
KJ4CTD and 0TR. Good morning, Wyatt.
Good morning. Well, actually, it's afternoon. And good afternoon. Good rainy afternoon, Tom. KJ4CTD Mebel.
Roger the rain. Well, I'm just sitting here. I started a scan on this old computer, and I'm getting ready to mount some lights in a tool cabinet. We started to go down to Ingalls, and I looked at that parking lot one time, and I decided negative on that Ghost Rider, and we come back home.
Yeah, I guess people have started shopping for their Christmas dinners now, so I guess that would be a true statement.
That's kind of what I thought. Bernice didn't need anything that was that important, so she said, I'll just wait on it, and we can get it at a later date. And it's not that far. It's only about 2 miles or so down there. But there must have been 250 cars in that parking lot if there was one. And right now, I don't like crowds particularly. And I don't like waiting in lines either at the cash register, so best we avoided that spot today. Well, we've got 8,600. Barometer here says 2976, so I guess it could rain some more, what?
All right, I'll tell you one thing about the grocery store is that, you know, probably the best time now, because all the kids are out of school in Greenville, man. Friday was their last day. Probably about 10 o'clock Sunday morning is probably going to be your best bet right now. And I looked at the weather a little while ago, and we have this batch that's coming through, and then there's a much larger batch that's maybe a couple hours behind it. And that's pouring all the way up from the Gulf Coast, so we should have some decent amounts of rain. Didn't look like anything was going to be violent out of this because it's just not that much of a temperature differential at this point. KJ4 CDD Mobile.
Roger. Well, thanks for the update. I hadn't looked at it for a little while because we went to the store and then come back. Well, I haven't had the TV on, Wyatt. I was just trying to take some measurements here on things. Well, we could sure use the rain. It has been bloody well dry, that's for sure. I walked out back this morning, looked around, and there was a hawk sitting on the post there watching my chickens, and he sits out there quite often. I fed the chickens good yesterday, so their feet are still full, and nothing of high priority to do, and doesn't seem to be anything on the radio of any interest to me. And the kids are coming in on Wednesday. So we're kind of looking forward to that. The one's from up in Michigan. The other ones live down here in the south part of town.
I have one question about that hawk. Was he sitting there rubbing his wings and his belly and going, that one over there, she looks like a fine, fine chicken. KJ4CDD.
Honestly, I just about, I got two in there that's supposed to be hens and they're learning how to crow. I'd almost turn them out, but I hate to see them demised that way because they wouldn't last long. But I got to call the chicken man and tell him we got two out there that don't belong. But they're on the far side over there, and they're not making too much racket yet. The other ones, we had one, and it would wake me up every morning about 4:30 in the morning, and I had to dispatch him elsewhere. But, I caught that hawk grabbing on the side of the cage one morning, and then he went to the other side, and then he come back to this side, trying to, I guess, get through that screen wire, and there's just no way, I don't think. But the chickens were real little. I suppose he might be able to grab one, but I doubt it. So I just tossed a firecracker out the window, and that was the end of that.
Behind slow people now, cutting all the way across the county. I'm going over to see Mr. YQK. I got to drop off from him. He's actually managed to get me sort of back on HF. Trying to get my Flex 1500 that I bought a couple of Hamfest bag for a good deal on the air, and I received just fine. Can't transmit yet. Apparently I need some kind of virtual serial cables or something to actually get FL Digi to get.
Two are out of my pay grade, but Dave especially is up there and that kind of stuff. Ask him if he ever got his eyes fixed. I tried to convince him. He's got pretty bad, I think, nearsightedness. And I was trying to convince him to go down to Clemson Eye, but he's as paranoid, more so than I was, about people touching my eyes. But it's absolutely painless, and that would be a great Christmas present to give himself because he really needs it. And there's absolutely 100% no pain involved. And but I understand his phobia about people touching their eyes. I don't think anybody likes that very well.
Now that phobia too, that's why I don't wear contacts. But I have a slight drawback. I got to get my A1C down another full point before they'll let me do that.
Roger, well that's good. As much weight as you lost, I wouldn't have thought it would have been down. You're looking good. But That's hard to do, too. The older you get, the harder it is. But, gosh, I can't recommend them high enough. It's just a wonderful place. I've never been examined with more pieces of electronic equipment in my life than I was there, on my eyes anyways. And I thought I might have a problem because I had a detached retina one time and had to have it welded up. But they said, no, no problem. So I had my cataracts taken care of and my vision taken care of. And later in life there, it got to where I couldn't read the big E. And now I'm 20/20, Wyatt.
You know, I came to the conclusion, no, I don't know, about 10 years ago that I'd really like to get it done. And I got 50 more pounds I got to lose to be in my more or less ideal range. And that should actually be able to get myself the other full point down on my A1C. And, you know, I mean, I was finally told, like, no more than 3 months ago that, hey, if you eat more than 15 carbs in a sitting, that totally screws up your blood sugars. And then you start looking at what 15 carbs equals, and it's like, oh, well, I can have the wafer thin minute Olive Garden, and that's like 5 grams of carbs right there. So I can have 3 of them, and then I have to leave Olive Garden. So, you know, it's just a pain.
I'm very fortunate at that. Now, Bernice is, what they call pre-diabetic, but she don't have to take any medicine and anything, but she controls it with diet. I don't know how. That woman bakes all the time. I sit here and bake French cookies last night. Of course, we give away 99% of it. She made 250 Pfeffernusens to give away. They're little bitty 1-inch diameter cookies. And the neighbors love us, but we give a lot of it away. And she loves to bake, so that's fine. It's kind of her hobby. But I've been lucky. My two sisters were heavy set and obese. They could look at food and gain weight. And I felt so badly for them because they'd try. But my brother and I, we could have ate a whole steer and never gained a pound, Wyatt.
My brother is. He can sit there and eat an all-you-can-eat buffet, not gain a pound. Me, I walk in the building, I've already gained 3 pounds. Of course, I do know what my weaknesses are, and I do know that I don't exercise anywhere near enough. You know, if I just, you know, actually pulled in, you know, 5 miles of walking a day, probably wouldn't need anywhere near as much insulin as I have.
Yeah, that's rough, and I sympathize with that. I've never felt anything but sympathy for people who are that way. My dad was big, and most of his relatives were big, but I took after my mom, and so did my brother, and so we were very blessed. And I don't think it bothers us guys as much as it does the gals. But that's just a personal opinion. But I'm about 175, and I can stand to lose probably 15, 20 pounds more. I was always scrawny in high school and that. Well, even before that. But I was at a school in Detroit one time. Actually, it was a suburb of Detroit at a machine tool company, and this guy took us out to eat at like a coach house like place, or like they have around here, you know, the buffet. And I went one round, then I went back, and of course our company paid big money for him to entertain us. But I went back, and I come back, and he says, you know something, Rouse, he says, I hate to be the one to have to feed you.
Mabel. Yeah, I can understand that. I think the doctor technically today says my ideal weight's 180. I'd be happy at 190, but that's still, you know, 40, 50 pounds down from where I'm at. But I am a lot less than I was, you know, 15 years ago.
yes, you are. Like I said, you were looking good last time I seen you. I didn't even recognize you. shooting, that's a compliment. Yeah, it's a rough road to hoe. I got up to 215 one time, but anymore, I just don't eat that much. Why? Bernice will make a sweet, and like if it's a cake or something, I have one piece, and then she winds up giving the rest away. And same way with some of the kinfolk brought us over, my son-in-law's mother brought us over a big plate of everything in the world, fudge, all this stuff. I don't like real sweet stuff. I mean, if it's like fudge. Now, Bernice can make some fudge, and it's creamy like milk chocolate. Now I'll eat one piece, and that's it. I don't care for any more. But I pretty much eat. Bernice says I eat all the time, and I do, but not much. I have a cup of coffee and two Aldi's little wafer cookies of a morning, and then I eat breakfast, and this morning we had eggs, hash brown, sausage. And then we all eat dinner early, about 3:30 or so. And then I won't eat no more. I don't eat supper. Well, I guess you'd call it that. So we'll eat breakfast late, between 8 and 9. And then we'll eat one meal in the afternoon between 2:30 and 5 o'clock, I guess. But most people down here, you go by the steakhouses and that at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and they're packed.
I drink my two cups of coffee, which for normal people, that's actually four cups of coffee, with creamer. And then I don't actually eat anything else for breakfast. I've never been particularly a breakfast person. And then, you know, I'll have a lunch, which may be between noon and 3 o'clock, depending on where I'm at in the day. And, you know, here lately, we have been trying to eat dinner at or before 6 p.m. And then, you know, depending on what my body says, I may, you know, sneak into the chocolate as a midnight, as a right before bed snack, which I'm trying to not do that because that totally screws up my morning sugars when I do that. But I don't actually feel like I eat a lot. It's just, I know I don't do enough exercise, and I think that's really my biggest problem is failure to exercise. KJ4CTZ Mobile.
Well, Bernice says that the more she works, like out in the yard and that, or with the chickens, or whatever we're doing, the better her sugar levels are. She checks it every morning, and if she's worked a lot the day before and that, it'll be 95 to, you know, a maximum of 100, and it's supposed to be below 100, I think. I don't know. I've only checked my blood sugar a couple of times, and like I said, I could eat a horse, and it just, she laughs because my blood sugar will be, you know, 80, 90, up in that area. But there's an idea. I think that when you eat late, it delays on you, and that's why I think it's a bad habit to eat late, but that's the tradition down here, it seemed like, from what I've observed. And it might be that everywhere, I don't know. I just always, I work 7 to 3:30 for 32 years after I got out of service, and I'd want to eat quickly after that, like, you know, between 4 and 4:30 when I got home. And I guess I got acclimated to it, but I don't eat much of an evening. I might have an ice cream cone, one of those bottom ones, or maybe some popcorn, stuff like that, you know, not a great deal. But like tomorrow morning, I might have raisin bran with bananas and blueberries and whatever else you might want to throw in it. And I'm just as happy with that. But she says breakfast is the most important meal of the day. What?
It wants me between 80 and 120. With 100 as my average. But my problem is that, you know, when I'm sitting around 80, My blood sugars will actually just suddenly kind of drop. If I do any kind of activity at all, it'll just plummet. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, you have so much more range where you don't end up in the hospital on the upper side than you do on the lower side. Because if you get below, you know, 50, 40, somewhere in that range, and you're there any length of time, you're going to the hospital. But if you're at 130 to 150, you ain't going to the hospital. You can kick around for a good little while at that level. And so, you know, part of my problem is psychological. I will admit it, that I am scared to death to be below, you know, about 80. And it scares me to death, so I'll eat. As soon as it hits 80, I'll start eating. And, you know, I'll admit, 100% psychological on that. But I am trying better. Some days I do better than others. KJ4CTT Mobile.
Diabetic, my brother was hypoglycemic, and I think I'm kind of that way because I get the hangries. I really get agitated if I can't get something. So we always carry those little cheese and crackers in the car and in the truck. And if we're over to Costco's or something, Spartanburg, on the way home, I'll eat two or three of those crackers, and I'm good to go. But I can feel it, and I don't like it a bit when I get hungry. Just anything. I used to just live on sodas when I was a young man. And I look at it now and thought, my God, how'd I keep from becoming diabetic? Because I'd carry a Pepsi with me. I had 30,000 square feet at a machine shop and another 40,000 across the street and a structure shop I had to take care of. And I'd carry that Pepsi with me everywhere I went. I shouldn't even admit that, but I did.
Eat a lot of soda, too. I may once in a blue moon have a Coke, but that's about it. Sorry, just totally lost where I was going around the curve. Can't remember what I was going to say. Catch you for it, Judy.
Oh, you said about drinking a Coke. Well, the coffee the gal brought us over at the Little Rebel last night was crappy. And so Helen come over, the lady that owns the place there, you know her, and she said, is everything all right, Tom? I said, no, potatoes are cold and with the gravy on it. We had country fried steak. And I said, the coffee stinks. And I said, your coffee is some of the best I ever tasted. We'll take care of that. And boy, she went back and brought us a fresh cup of coffee, and it was perfect. And some hot mashed potatoes. Cold mashed potatoes and gravy sucks. I don't know how else to put it. But she took care of us. But in the meantime, I told that gal, I said, don't worry about it. I said, no, just bring me a Sprite. And anymore, that's a treat because I'll drink a ginger ale here. Those little small cans, I keep those in the fridge. And I'll drink a ginger ale now and then, but as far as drinking a Pepsi or a Coke, it's a rare occasion anymore. I don't know how I broke myself of that, Wyatt.
And about 4 ounces of Coke is sufficient to raise my blood sugars by 20 points. But, you know, I start shaking when my sugar level gets below 70. And, you know, they say if you start shaking, you know, drink some sugar, especially if it keeps going down. And I wear the Dexcom sensor. So, you know, it's got alarms set on it and stuff like that. And it will tell me if I'm starting to drop like a rock. But one of the things I have found is the sensors are generally okay, but if it's at the beginning of when you put it on or at the end, they tend to go totally bonkers. So I don't really trust the readings off of them the last 2 days that they're supposed to be on my body. And, you know, I do a lot of extra finger sticks the first couple of days it's on me. But other than that, it's nice because it saves your fingers from, you know, becoming totally calloused over.
That your stick and stuff, it smarts. hypodermics don't bother me, but I'm not wild about sticking my finger with that little trigger thing she's got. But can't you just chew a piece of gum or
heard in the old days people would have a candy bar or something and they'd just take a bite of that.
Candy bars and stuff like that is, you know, if it's summer, it's going to melt all over the inside of your truck, and that's just nasty. A warm Coke, you can stomach, 4 ounces of warm Coke. And chewing gum is, you know, most of it's gone sugar-free now, so it doesn't actually do anything for you.
Sugar-free sodas, the kids, they all drink Coke Zero and Pepsi Zero, and so I think Coke Zero mostly, but it makes me sick the second I try to drink that stuff. I guess it's the saccharin or something in it, or aspartame, but we was at some place last year, and I think it was a Quick Trip. Once in the blue moon, we'll go in there and get a hot dog down there at I-85 in Buncombe, and they have real good hot dogs, and I'll get a soda then, and they had mixed up and got the diet into the one that I, into the regular one. Oh, my God. I just can't take that stuff. It sends her OTR.
The aspartame that I can't take, because it leaves like a metallic aftertaste in my mouth, and that's just nasty. It's whatever they use in Diet Coke. Can't drink Diet Coke. That's just nasty.
What you want? Well, how close you getting to old Raves over there?
5 windy miles. About 10 minutes. Let me just give the other day it was a call. W4DJW KJ4CTD. Radio turned on.
Rare. Well, I better let you go, Wyatt. We tied up the repeater for a while, and if somebody wanted in, I guess they could break, so no problem. I got my regular power supply back in. I was checking another antenna the other day, and a piece of that 1-inch wide braided ground flipped over to the side, and I didn't realize I had the other power supply on, and it touched one of the cases of a power transistor. Ironically, it didn't knock the power transistor out, but it did knock out a bridge rectifier. So I just got that back in last night. I had a spare, so no big deal, but just, oh man, it upset me. Thinking how stupid that was, and I should have known that it was above ground and not done that. But anyways, I was able to fix it. That's the reason I like linear supplies. I don't care for those switch modes. They're all right in certain applications. My amplifier has a switch mode. It works like a dream. But if it ever broke, you ain't going to repair it. I can tell you that. I used to work on a lot of welders in the inverter-type welders. When they first come out, man, they were really crappy. And if you lose a board in it, it was just a major breakdown. Whereas the old 600-amp Lindys and 275s and even up to 1,500 amps, I could go in there and change a diode or an SCR or something, and you'd be back in business. But yeah, I don't know if you've ever been in a switch mode power supply or not, but it's all surface mount, and they do a lot of conversion in them, put it that way. This will, I'm sure you're well aware of, so I stick with the other ones. But I got that back in, got this radio mounted back up on this little Astro on 20 amp, and the HF rig's got a 35. And the spare HF rig's got a voltmeter this bad. You know, actually, I contacted Astron and was able to order a meter for that because, as you all know, a D'Archambault meter, just your breath on it's enough to screw it up if you get back there trying to fix it. And I looked at it one time, and there's just no zero on it, and then it sticks now and then. So I just give up on that idea.
It's a good thing you didn't get across that, you know. I mean, nobody really wants ozone on their tongue. But, you know, yeah, maybe you ought to, I don't know how much of a do-it-yourselfer you are, but, you know, maybe you ought to try building your own voltmeter with, like, a Raspberry Pi or something.
have a digital meter on my power supply that's there, and so these power supplies I got, one of the 35s is variable, and the other one isn't. And the one that isn't, that I don't use, generally speaking, is an RS-35M, and it's the one that has, like right now, it looks to me sitting here that it's stuck on about 3 volts. The amp meter works. The voltmeter don't. It sticks wherever it wants, but it'll come up to 13.8 volts, but when you shut it off, it don't go back to zero, and that kind of bugs me. And you can't adjust it with the little yoke on the front, you know, on the Yarsenville. It don't work. I don't think it's rubbing the face. So anyways, it was only $28 to order a new one, and it's got an LED in it, matter of fact, so that's kind of nice.